Good morning, guys. How are you? Good? Beautiful day, right? Dang, man. My name is Daniel De Leon, but my friends call me Mambo, so you guys can call me Mambo. That's my nickname. And I am one of the pastors here at Westside Church International, and I am delighted. I am delighted. I like that word. We're going to be talking about that word today. I'm delighted that you guys are here. All the guys that are visiting from where? Iowa? You guys drove, right? Dang, man. I like it. I like driving. So welcome. We're so happy that you're here. I went ice climbing a couple of days ago, so I had a good week. I know, man. You know, that's what I do. I'm just a savage. No, I'm not. That's what I do. Went to a pastor's retreat. It was awesome. I really enjoyed it. With other pastors of the city, and learn a lot of things. So praise God for that, that he allowed me to be with those other leaders and learn from this guy, Gordon MacDonald. I don't know if you heard of him. He's written many different books. So it was just being with him and learning from him. And I was like, man, I have so much to learn still. So it was great, but it was a little overwhelming. I'm not going to lie. It's like, dang, I hope one day I can be like this guy. But by God's grace, he's still doing his work in me. So anyways, today we're going to be talking about God's word, but I don't want to talk. I don't want my words to speak. I want God's words to speak to us through his Holy Spirit. So why don't we pray and let's ask God to speak into our lives, to specific areas of our lives, to specific situations that you and I are going through. And that he may bring healing, that he may bring understanding, that he may bring peace. Dear Lord, you are good. As the song says, we are overwhelmed by you. Because when we are in your presence overwhelms us by your holiness, by your righteousness, by your love. And by your power. Thank you because you are our God. Thank you because you are present in our lives. I want to pray for those who this morning are coming with a burden in their hearts. I pray that you would speak to their lives. And that you would let them know how much you love them. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you guys, if you didn't know, I am from Mexico. I was born and raised in Mexico. I was born in Mexico City, but I was raised in a little town called Minatitlán, Veracruz. That is not even in Spanish. It's Nahuatl. All right? Minatitlán, it means Tierra de Flechadores. I don't know how to say that. Land of archers. So you better watch out. That's where I grew up. I have one over here. No, just kidding. That's where I grew up. And back in the day, when I was young, man, I'm not anymore. Come on, guys. I'm 40. Come on, Ernest. I'm still young. You're right. So back in the day when I was in high school, this show came up. The name of the show was Atínale al Precio, all right? Atínale al Precio, which it was the version of The Price Right, okay? So that show became so popular in Mexico very quickly. One of the reasons is because they would show it at lunchtime, which, by the way, in Mexico is from 1 to 3-ish. So when groups from the States go to Mexico and it's noon, you can see them with protein bars and they're so hungry at noon. And we're like, bro, come on, man. You have to hold on still for 2 more hours. But that's for another preaching. So from that time, at lunchtime, we would watch Atínale al Precio. And if you know the show, if you know The Price is Right, which is a very popular show, you know kind of the premise of the show. So you have to guess the price, right? You have to get to the closest of the right price of the determined item. It could be a TV, it could be a washer machine, it could be a sound system. So there are a lot of different things, right? And if you get closer to the price, then you actually go to the next round, right? And you get the item. And I think one of the things that we like, or at least that I like a lot about the show, it's kind of like people's expressions, right? When they would win, it's like they go crazy. And some people even dress really funny, right? And very with a lot of color so they can get picked, right? And then they can guess the price. But I think the favorite part of the show for me is the last part, when they're actually trying to guess for them to win the car, right? So, and when they win the car, you guys know, people go crazy, right? They go around the whole studio and they hug the guy, the host, I don't know how you say that, and they just go crazy. I mean, if I would tell some of you right now that you just won a brand new car, you better believe that you would be running around the church like crazy, right? I would. Especially in Mexico, cars are so expensive. Oh my gosh. So I love that show. So pretty much the premise of the show is if you get the price right, you will get the price, right? But what if, I want to ask you guys, what if there was a the price is right for life? What if there was something called the price is right, but of life. And let me tell you what you would win. You want to know the prices? Right? This is the price of life. You know, the price is right of life. So I'm going to tell you the prices. This is what you're going to get. Okay? So I want you to get all excited. No, just kidding. Done. But I'm going to tell you the prices. So if you get the price right, this is what you're going to get. Your children, if you have kids, your children will be CEOs of companies. Your children will have the best jobs they can get. Your kids will have a lot of prosperity. They will be successful in what they do. Besides, if you get the price right of life, you're going to become wealthy. You're going to be a wealthy person. You're going to be rich if you get this right, this price right. And not only wealthy, but you're going to be a just person, okay? You're not only going to have resources, but you're going to be just. Moreover, there's more, guys. I know. There is more, all right? When you go through hard times, you're not going to be alone. When you go through hard times, there are going to be other people around you who will walk with you in those hard times. These are some of the prizes. You won't be defeated because you're not going to be alone. Also, if you get this prize right, you will feel secure in your life. You will feel secure in your work, in your relationships, in your finances, even if the economy collapses, you're going to be at peace and you're going to be calm. So maybe at this point you're thinking, like, what in the world are you preaching? Is this like prosperity gospel or something like that? No, it's not. All right, so bear with me. There's a point over here, guys. Not only that, but if you get this price right, you will be able to help other people. You will be able to be generous. And not because you have the resources to be generous, but because you have the right heart. You have the right attitude. And lastly, another thing is that even the people who doesn't like you, they're going to be wondering, like, what's up with Mambo? Why is that dude is actually doing well in his life? I kind of want to have what he has, but I don't get it. I don't like him because he's prospering his life. And I just don't have that, and I want what he has. So you're probably wondering, man, bro, if you're saying that I'm going to get all, that my kids are going to be successful, that I'm going to be wealthy, that I'm going to be, you know, when trials come to my life, there's going to be other people that, you know, when crisis comes to my life, I'm still going to have peace. Like, sign me up. I want that. But yes, but there are only two conditions for that. Two conditions. In order for us to get this price right of life, we need two things. One is to fear the Lord, and the second one is to delight in his commandments. One is to fear the Lord, and the second one is to delight in his commandments. You know why? Because when we fear God and we delight in his commandments, all those things are not priority for our lives. They are a consequence. And even when we don't get any of those things, we still delight in God. We still fear God. So what I'm about to share is not a formula. Because you're probably wondering, Mambo, so are you saying that if I become a Christian, am I going to become rich? Nope. I mean, maybe you will, maybe you won't. Right? Maybe you will, maybe you won't. There are people who are Christians who are poor, and there are people who are Christians who are rich. There are people who know God and are rich, and people who don't know God and are poor as well. But this is what I can tell you. You will become a richer person. So Psalm 112. Let's go and see what Psalm 112 says. So this psalm is actually, one thing, amigos, there we have a lot of Bibles in front of, you know, in the pews. Can you see a Bible in front of you? All right. So what we're going to do today, we're going to actually use those Bibles. All right. I use my app, my Bible app. You know, I'm so fancy. But today I want us to grab the book and to actually open it and to actually go through the Bible, all right? So Psalm 112, that's where we're going to go. And this psalm is an acrostic poem which follows the order of the Hebrew alphabet. And from verse 2 to 10, verse 2 and 10 to 10 stem from verse 1. So from verse 2 to 10 of all of the psalm stems from verse 1. And let's see what verse 1 says. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. For those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous, good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the weak will come to nothing. So I'm not making this up for us guys. But as I said, this is not a formula. When we come to God's word, what we get is principles to our lives that makes us richer people. People that are able to discern because of God's word the different areas of our lives, whether that is relationships, actually all of the areas of our lives, whether that is relationships, whether that is your job, whether that is your past, your present, and your future. It's God's word, is God's lenses that he gives us in order for us to see the reality in the world the way that he sees that. But the problem is like, okay, Mambo, that sounds really cool, bro, but that's not true in my life, man. Come on, I've been a Christian for a long time, and that hasn't really been true, right? Well, let me tell you this. I've been a Christian my entire life as well. And I say that in a lot of my life, for me, it's very hard actually to go and apply God's principles because my nature, you know, my humanity, my sin doesn't want that. I want what actually God's word, you know, what it goes against God's word. That's what I want. My flesh wants that. I don't want what God says. So you know what I do? It's just I ignore him. And I do my own thing. Because I know better than God. You know? It's like, oh, yeah, I know how to do this. I know how to plan a church, guys. Come on. And God is like, no, you don't. No, you don't, bro. I'm going to tell you how to do it. Oh, I got this. I know how to relate with my family and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, you don't. You know, you need me to tell you how to live life. You need me. And the problem, amigos y amigas, the problem is that when we don't know who is right next to us, when we don't know him, then we're just wandering in life by ourselves and we don't know what's up. We don't know. We're confused. And we go mistake after mistake after mistake because we don't know the one who created life. And the Bible says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Right? So in order for me to know, to have faith, that faith is not going to come because I'm good. I'm so spiritual. Oof, I praise God. Like you should see. I cry when I pray. No, it's not about that. But it's about what I understand in God's word in my life. Right? Now, let me tell you this, amigos. This is going to be a pause. All right? So, everybody relax. Are we okay? Are we good? All right. Sometimes the work of the prophets and the work of the pastors is not easy because the work and the message of the pastors and the prophets was not usually welcome. If you see the prophets in the Old Testament, they were not, and don't get me wrong, I'm not talking bad about these pastors, okay? They were not Louis Giglio. They were not like Andy Stanley. These guys, they were not liked. They didn't like them. And God would ask them, you have to go and teach my people what I'm going to tell you. And usually it was not a popular message. And I have a confession to make to you, Westside. It's not easy for me to tell these things. It's not easy. Because you know how it sounds? It sounds like a rebuke. Oh, like, I don't like Mambo. Like, he's rebuking me. You don't know me. And guys, as I'm preaching this to you, I'm preaching that to myself. As I'm preaching that to you, I'm preaching that to myself. I need it as much as you guys need it. But we just cannot ignore God's word because this is what happens. All of us grew up with a narrative, all right? Like, my narrative was my dad used to tell me, you are very lazy. You're a lazy person. So I grew up thinking that's me. Yeah, Mambo, lazy. And then I found out, like, bro, come on, man. Like, I grew up in South Mexico, in Veracruz, which is extremely hot and humid. And I had no motivation whatsoever to do anything. I just wanted to be laying down in my little shorts and my flip-flops, you know, like, it was so hot. And my dad interpreted that as, you're lazy. I'm like, I'm not lazy. When I went to law school, I became one of the best students in all law school. And then I failed. No, didn't fail. But only for 2 years, I was really good a student. 2 years, straight A's. And all, yeah, different kinds of diplomas and whatever. But then I got tired. But I was motivated. So the narrative that I grew up was, you're lazy. And sometimes you have probably a different narrative in your life. That you're not worth it to be loved. That you're rejected, that you're not good enough, that you don't have what it takes. But when we go to God's word, he starts changing their narrative, little by little, by little, by little. He starts changing your narrative. And sometimes that takes a lot of time and a lifetime and years, guys, years. But how are we supposed to be changed if we don't go to the very source that can change us? That is him, through his word. It's almost, in my opinion, and I might be wrong, it's almost impossible. It's almost, at least I can't. I cannot change myself. I tried, believe me. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to eat healthy now in this 2019. I mean, those tamales, come on, guys. It's your fault. Exactly. So, where were we? Tamales, thank you, brother. So for that, we need to delight. So that what God is saying in Psalm 119, he's not giving us a set of rules. He's saying delight. Delight. I want you to think about the things that you enjoy the most. The things that you enjoy the most. It could be reading. It could be running. It could be movies. It could be traveling. It could be whatever. You know, let's say it's traveling. And I tell you, like, hey, man, you know, I have a ticket for you. You're going to go to Greece. You're going to go to Germany. Then you're going to have a stop in Spain, which, by the way, we have someone from Spain today, right? Barcelona, which is a very beautiful place. I've never been there, but I've been in Spain. And you love traveling, and you're like, no, man, come on. I don't want to do that. You're not going to do that, right? You're going to be like, of course, man. When are we leaving? I'm ready. Because you love that stuff. So when God is saying delight in my word, he's not saying in a way that this is a set of rules. But there's goodness for you and for me when we delight in that word, in his word. There's good things for us. We're changed by God. We're changed by his word. Because God's word, so this is the preaching idea, guys, all right? Ready? This is the preaching idea. Because God's word guides us, transforms us, sustains us, and teaches us who he is. So God's word guides us. How do you say that? It's third person, right? Thank you. God's word guides us. So it means that when you don't know what's up, you don't know what to do. I've been in situations when I'm like, God, what should I do? And I all of a sudden open a psalm that has nothing to do with my situation. But God speaks to me through that psalm. Or God speaks to me through a story of the New Testament. And I'm like, oh, okay, I feel you. You know, it's like he starts guiding our lives through his word. Or sometimes, well, not sometimes, all of us have been hurt in one way or another. All of us. All of us have heard a narrative in our lives. So God's word transforms us. He transforms us more like him. That narrative of you're lazy, God's saying, no, you're not. It was just very hot where you grew up. And I love you. Even where you're at, even in your addictions, even in your weaknesses, I love you, brother. My love for you is not conditional, but you cannot know that unless you come to my word. And I need you to come. I need you. The other thing is that God's word sustains us. Okay, so we have everybody. All right, so my friends, brothers, sisters, amigos y amigas from Iowa who are younger than me, all right? Let me tell you this, and I'm not going to tell you this to discourage you. And you probably are going through something like that in your life. You're going to go through trials. You're going to suffer. That's part of Christian life, all right? But I want to tell you this thing too. God will sustain you. When you go through those times in life, and you're like, what's up? Why? No one told me in the church that I was going to suffer. Well, I'm telling you, you will. That's a promise by Jesus. But his promise is that he will sustain us because he already conquered and defeated the enemy on the cross. So when you go through those hard times from a 40-year-old man that is telling you these things, to you that are like probably 20 years younger than me, I cannot believe that. It's insane. But I'm telling you, God is going to sustain you. He will. And those who are not as young as they are, I'm telling you the same thing. God will sustain you, and he will sustain me. And when we go to God's word, we understand more of who God is. They're like, oh man, like, is this, wow, like, is this God? Is this my God? It's like, I cannot believe it, man. Like, he's so beautiful, so powerful, so loyal, so eternal. And I just didn't know that. Or I kind of knew it, but it's hard to make a connection from here to here, right? So when we come to God's word, we start learning more about who he is. Actually, in the Old Testament, when we go to the Old Testament, so you have your Bibles, so even though it's going to be there, Bible time. Are you guys ready? I feel like in Sunday school. We're going to go to Deuteronomium. I don't know how to say that in English. Thank you. I tried for years. I can't pronounce that word. Deuteronomium 17:14-20, and it says, the people of Israel, they didn't have a king. So what the people of Israel was and asked God, like, we want a king. We want a king just like these other nations, all right? Can you give us a king? Even though they already had one, but it was the king of kings. And God was like, all right, I'll give you a king. But this is what you need to know. So he says in verse 14, when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you and have taken possession of it and settled in it, and you say, let us set a king over us like all the nations, around us. Be sure, so this is what God is saying, be sure to appoint over you a king the Lord your God chooses. He must be from among your fellow Israelites. Do not place a foreigner over you, one who is not an Israelite. The king, moreover, must not acquire great number of horses for himself, so not a lot of possessions, or make the people return to Egypt to get more of them. For the Lord has told you, you are not go back that way again. He must not take many wives, or his heart will be led astray. He must not accumulate large amounts of silver and gold. So God is telling him, like, bro, you got to be careful with all these things, all right? And this is what you have to pay attention to. And this is in verse 18. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll, a copy of this law, all right, by hand, taken from that of the Levitical priests. It is to be with him Now pay attention to this part, Westside. And he is to read it all the days of his life. All the days of his life. All the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his fellow Israelites, and turn from the law to the right and to the left. And here's where the price is right. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom in Israel. So if God told the kings, in order for you to be a wise king, a godly king, you need to go back to my law. Every single day. Because the moment that you don't, you're going to fail. Because that is your human nature. Now, if God asked that to kings, could you imagine to me? And to you. If we don't come to him, we're gonna be like a little, like a drunk guy, right? Like stumbling here and there with no direction. And God, as I again, is not that he wants to give us a set of rules that are black and white. No. But because he loves us, he's our father. He's our dad. And he wants the best for us. So what happened is that actually there was a king who tried to follow this with all of his heart. And his name was King David. Now, if you have not heard his story, King David was someone who committed adultery. He also committed murder. He betrayed the guy that was married to the woman he slept with. He was a bad father, King David. He was not, you know, we're going to talk about King David. Sometimes we portray the characters of the Bible like superheroes, like the Avengers or like Batman. They were not. They were human beings like you and me who made mistakes. The thing with King David, though, is that he seeked God with all of his heart and he repented. When he messed things up, he would seek God. He would. He had this passion, this raw passion for God and for God's word. And God didn't see his imperfection. He saw his heart. He saw David's heart. So what do you think when one of the greatest kings of all the people of Israel, what are the last things that you would think he would tell to one of the most important persons he had in his life before he was going to die? Well, let's go to the Bible. Let's go to 1 Kings 2, verses, passage 1 to 4. And I actually gave the wrong passage, so it's not going to be in the slides. 1 Kings 2, 1 to 4. This is David talking to his son, Solomon. When the time drew near for David to die, he was about to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. I'm about to go the way of all the earth, he said. So be strong and act like a man. And observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him. And keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations, as is written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go. And the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live, if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. So now let me clarify something for you, amigos. There's absolutely nothing that we can do to earn God's love. There's nothing. God's love is not conditional to our obedience. Right? He will love, he loves us no matter what. But the fruit of abiding in that relationship with God, that's something different. You know, when I go to the gym, that is not that often, of course, right? Duh. And I see, you know, these guys that are like doing like, oh my gosh, I'm like, they look, you know, they walk like that in the gym. I'm like, bro, come on, man. I want that, right? I want that. But you know what's the difference between them and me? That they're in the gym every day. That they don't eat Cheetos like I do. Or tacos. They put the work. And they try to eat healthy. And they ride the consequences of their work. Right? But sometimes we want to bear the fruit of the Spirit without putting the work. And it doesn't work that way. I mean, I wish it did. I wish I just watching Netflix, you know, at 8 p.m., my muscles would start all of a sudden growing and my belly and my fat would just go away. It doesn't happen that way, guys. It doesn't happen. And when I think it happens that way and I go biking and I'm not in shape, like, I'm like dying, like, bro, come on, this is torture. Because you need to put the work, right? And God is saying that to his people. You have to come to me when? Every week, 30 minutes, and a Sunday? That is maybe 1 hour a month? And we want to have spiritual muscles? Wesley, I'm preaching this to me. I'm preaching this to me. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. It's not, Christianity is not about how many Sundays we come to church. That's part of the Christian life. But it's about our life on the daily basis, on the cave, when no one sees that character is built. That's when it happens, guys. It's not, here is just a part. But I would even argue, it's not even the most important part. It's a fundamental part. So come every Sunday, but it's not even that. Okay? So when we go through those things in our lives, guys, and we know who we are in Christ, he starts speaking into our lives. He starts changing things in us. So I'm going to ask the worship team to please come. Because God's word guides us. God's word transforms us. God's word sustains us. And it teaches us who God is. Because this is the thing, amigos y amigas. God's word is like medicine. You and I are sick. You and I are sick. And we need our prescription every day. We live in the already theologian, so I'm going to use a seminary term of all that $40,000. But so, okay. So theologians say we live in the already, but not yet. We have already been saved, but not yet, because when we are in Christ, when we come to God's throne, we will be saved. So we live in this already, but not yet. Life, right? So we need the medicine every day. I need that medicine. I need that. And you know that you guys by now should know what is the measurement that I have when I'm taking my medicine. Is my road rage goes down, right? Like, damn, man, I'm walking with the Lord. Like, that guy called me off and I'm still cool. Right? It happens. There's something in us that starts happening in a very practical way that doesn't come from us. It comes from God. So if you guys have ever read the Psalm 119, that's the biggest chapter of all of the Bible. And in my understanding, I think it has 120 maybe Maybe you can look it up in your Bibles that you have there. It has more than 100 verses. And what I understand is that only 4 of those verses don't speak about God's word. But all of the verses in Psalm 119 that we're going to read right now. No, just kidding. We're not. It would take until, I don't know, 3 p.m. But most of these verses talk about God's word. God's word. So we're going to read Psalm 119, verse 103 to 105. And it says, 119 verses 103 to 105. How sweet are your words to my taste. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. Check this out, Westside. I gain understanding from your presence. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. So the psalmist is saying, your words are sweet to me. When I spend time in them, I gain understanding. I know what to do because you're the one who leads me. And even when I don't know what to do, I know that because what I know, but I don't feel, I know that you will show up, that you love me. I know that. This week I learned that our bodies change every 5 years. And that our spiritual lives change every 7 to 10 years. So all these things that you see here, it wasn't there. I promise you 3 years ago. It's changing, guys. It's changing. But you know what never changes? It's God's word. You will change. Your body will change. The people around change. The world will change. But God's word never changes. It's eternal. It's forever. And when we don't come in the light in God's word and we fear God, we're missing out. We're missing out. Because it's not that it's a formula that you guys, all of a sudden, we're all going to become wealthy. And I mean, I wish we all, why not, right? But if it doesn't happen, that's okay. That's fine. But when we go through suffering or whether we are prosper financially or not, God will still be our delight. We will still be able to give to others because what he's doing in us. But that cannot happen unless we come to his word. You and I are not smart enough. We're human beings. But he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So I want to challenge, I want to invite you guys that this week, so in January, I was like, you know what, bro? Come on, man. You gotta step up your game. So like, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm going to read the Bible every day for 21 days. That's all. Don't ask me more. I read that a habit, you know, that you create a habit after 21 days, right? If you do things for 21 days. So I decided to do that. And I asked, I call other friends and I told them like, hey guys, I need you to keep me accountable. This is what I need because I need it in my life. I need it. I'm going through a hard time in my life and I need this thing. I need it. And by the grace of God, I think I'm in day 30 right now, right? By the grace of God and by the help of others. So I don't want to, you know, necessarily challenge you to 21 days because it's hard. I mean, if you want to do it, awesome. But I do want to challenge you that for this week, all right, just this week, from Monday to Sunday next week, that all of us, even if you don't come to this church, spend time in God's word only 15 minutes a day. That's it. Only 15. And you can choose whatever you want. Maybe don't go to Revelation. If you want, that's cool, but maybe you can go to the gospel. So if you want to go, but it's not easy to understand. And the Bible is not easy to understand sometimes. But I just want us to get into the practice of going to the one who created us and who has so much for us that when we respond to him, we will delight in his word. Amen.
Let's go ahead and just take some time to reflect on the things that we've heard. Let's just ask the Lord to help us make commitments that would invite him in, that he would come into the rivers of our life, and that he would change us completely. God, we ask that you would pour out your